my frail and human hands that an enemy can scale and get to you. But there's one protecting me from my greatest enemy. It's a wall Satan can't break through. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times his sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. Oh, my brother, when I'm weak, would you stand instead for me and pray a fortress round me strong that can't be moved? And I promise you today, when I bow my knees to pray, I'll do my best to build a wall of prayer for you. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. We need a wall of prayer surrounding thee. And the people said, amen. Now let's all stand and turn to 422. You notice I'm not following the bulletin very well this morning. But if you guys wanted to sing "The Comforter Is Come," we got a good special duet that's going to sing it for us. So anyway, let's go to 422. Saved, saved, saved. Do we not? All right. A special, special today. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to us, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." And he has come in our hearts and soul this morning. Please sit down.
Tongue, propane, the joyful sound, the call.
Next Saturday, two things. Number one, there will be a memorial service down at what used to be Old Time Baptist Church down here at the corner of Main and
Third and Anita.
And Anita, yeah.
One block
from Main. Right. Make the announcement there. Tell us about it. 12:30, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember Glenn, Les Cook passed away. They're going to have, starting on Thursday, they're going to have from 5 to 9 viewing at Glen Abbey. Friday will be the services out at Melmar for about 20 minutes. It's just a real quick ceremony. And then Saturday, 12:30, I think it's called San Diego Christian Fellowship Center yet now.
Yeah.
But it is at Zenith and 3rd, one block off of Main. And that'll be at 12:30 there. And Joel Blayhorn will be speaking, and there's supposed to be some finger food afterwards.
Okay. Yeah.
That's at 12:30 Saturday.
All right. All those of you that know new Les Cook, we'll want to go down there for that memorial service, I'm sure. We've known the Cooks for years and years. Our neighbors just down the street here. And yesterday, I went with Sam and Betsy Burton here over to memorial service for Don Robbins, who passed away at 4 o'clock last Wednesday. And we had a memorial service over there for Don. So today will be his first Sunday in heaven. Memorial service. And Saturday night, this coming Saturday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be having a musical here at the church. And everybody that comes will be invited to sing. We don't have professionals. But we have amateur night, and that'll give everybody an opportunity to come. See, if you're professional, people expect perfection from you. When you're an amateur, they don't. But we always have a good time at these first Saturday night of the month singings. And 6 o'clock, if you'd like to come out and be with us. Now, this morning, I would like you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture here that you recognize as being the Great Commission. You may know it by heart already, but we need to read it again. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying,
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Pardon me just a moment. Sometimes this works and sometimes it doesn't, and this is one of those times when it isn't. Now we got it. I'm sure you're familiar with this great commission that Jesus gave just prior to his ascension when he went back to heaven. Embodied in this commission is the sole purpose and duty of his church, which is the body of Christ. These are our marching orders. Go ye. Now this is to be read in conjunction with Acts 1:8, where Jesus, just before he ascended, he's already on the Mount of Olives, said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." I want you to see that, because there's a language here that we need to understand. Isn't there a difference between the word shall and should? Did Jesus say to them, "You should go into all the world"? That wasn't it, was it? He said, "You shall go." That is an order. That is a commission that he's given to us. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Is there a limit to that? He's ordered us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world." Is there any place excluded from that? I don't think so. And as we go, he says, "Preach the gospel to every creature." No exemptions. No exceptions. But for years and for generations, we have read this and misinterpret it to say, and you've heard this, if you can't go, send someone. Where'd you get that? I can't even see that in those white spaces between the verses. Amen. If you can't go, send someone. Or is that man's excuse for not going? What I'm trying to say is, do we personally fulfill the Great Commission when we put a dollar in the offering plate for missions? We're a missions church here. We give substantially to our missionaries. We have a whole list of them out there. And we love them, every one. Amen. And you can call us a missionary church. But are we fulfilling the Great Commission simply by supplying the needs of missionaries on the mission field? When God says, go ye, He wants us to go. And He tells us as we go to preach the gospel. Amen. Now the gospel is identified in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose from the dead the third day. Gospel means good news. The good news that Jesus saves. And we're to go into all the world and tell every creature that Jesus saves. Why the gospel? Why not be a medical missionary and go to a foreign field where people have diseases and sicknesses and things like that, and take a carload of medicine there and attend to their physical needs, give them shots and give them pills and things like that? Why not be a humanitarian missionary and take them a boatload of food and clothing, because many of them are starving to death in foreign countries, and many of them are naked and they need clothing. Why not be a humanitarian missionary and meet their physical needs? Or why not go and teach them a trade? Teach them how to plant corn and raise crops and things like that. The first missionary that I recall was the son of our Sunday school superintendent when I was a little boy. And he went over to some island in the Pacific and was teaching them agriculture. That's the first missionary that I ever remember in my life hearing about. Why not teach them to... let's see, there's a saying about... you can give a fella a fish and feed him today, or you can teach him how to fish for the rest of his life. Why the gospel? Do you suppose that it could be because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes? To the Jew first, also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. As Christians, our God-given responsibility to mankind is to minister to their spiritual needs. Amen. Spiritual needs. To prepare them for eternity. To help them to get right with God so they can go to heaven when they die. That's the important thing. But wait a minute. Did Paul say here in Romans 16, did I read that right? To the Jew first? Why did Paul throw that in? To the Jew. To the Jew first. Why should they have preference? Why should they have priority when it comes to hearing the gospel of Christ? Could it possibly be it's because they are God's chosen people? That God chose them in Abraham way back in 1883 B.C., some 3,896 years ago. And God's just keeping His promise to them and keeping His covenant that He made with them. God has established a priority for Christians to share the gospel with the Jew first. Well, maybe that command was just for that particular generation. I don't think so. But let's set aside for a moment these generations that are past. There are no reverse gears in life. We can't go back into the past and change those mistakes and redo the past. We have to deal with our present generation and work from this day forward. After World War II, many Jews who survived went to what we call the Holy Land. And Israel became a nation again in 1948. After 1,878 years of being a people without a country. That was 65 years ago. Today, they say that only about half of the Jewish population of the world have returned to Israel. Just about half of them. In fact, the total population of Israel is presently at 7.98 million. And it's not all Jews. Only about 75% of them are Jews. 6,016,920, the latest figure that I can find, of Jews who are now living in Israel. And about that same number is, they're still living scattered amongst all the nations of the earth. They haven't returned yet. I was reading some interesting statistics about this, and our neighbor to the north, Canada, has the fifth largest Jewish population in the world. A lot of them live up there. They say in Toronto, they have over 200,000. In Montreal, 100,000. Vancouver, 30,000. Winnipeg, 15,000. Our city of Philadelphia, where Brother Mason is from, they've got a lot of Jewish people there. They have over 206,000 Jews in Philadelphia. London, England has 215,000. They're still scattered. They haven't gone back yet. In fact, this is surprising. There have been 56,000 Jews who have returned to Budapest, Hungary. And now they're living where the Jewish population was almost totally eradicated during the Holocaust. Isn't that amazing? 56,000 of them are going back to that. Now listen, if I were a Jew, I might not be too anxious to go back to Israel either. Did you know that they have over 200,000 missiles and rockets pointed at them right now? And all they need is some nut to pull the trigger and that whole Middle East blows up. That's just Iran and Syria. So the Jews in Israel today are living literally in the shadow of destruction. Fortunately, they do have a pretty good defense system over there in place, but they need to be told about the greatest defense system in the world, and that is in the shadow of Almighty God. Amen. When Jesus came into this world, he came unto his own. His own. His own received him not. He came as a Jew, tracing his ancestry back in Matthew and Luke, all the way back to Abraham. He told a Canaanite woman that came to him one day in Matthew 15:24, he said to her, "Lady, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus said that. "I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So Gentile, how does that make you feel? like a second-class citizen. And when Jesus informed his disciples here in Acts 1:8 that they were to be his witnesses, he told them to begin at Jerusalem and Judea. They did. But who lived there? The very same Jews who had crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on a cross. He said, you start in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter addressed his sermon to the Jews of Jerusalem and Judea. And he said to them, you have taken Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain him. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, witnessed to the Jewish people. And he accused them. These are his words. You have been now the betrayers and murderers of the just one. They got mad and killed him for it. They picked up stones and stoned him to death without mercy. And how about in Acts chapter 11, verse 19? This is in your Bible, same as it is mine. They which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word, listen to this, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. In other words, if you're not a Jew, I'm not going to tell you about Jesus. I'm not going to tell you that Jesus died for your sins and was buried and rose from the dead the third day, because you're a Gentile. Here in the United States of America, we have several thriving organizations that have been set up to reach the Jewish people. Most all of us are familiar with the Friends of Israel. Many of us get that magazine that comes out monthly, the Israel My Glory. And we've heard Irv Rifkin come here to our church and preach. He's serving the Lord under the Friends of Israel down in El Salvador. They've been in business since 1938. Another organization, a good one, called International Board of Jewish Missions. They've been in operation since 1949. And of course, the Jews for Jesus movement has been going since 1971. And a vast majority of the people who are leading these Jewish organizations and involved in that Jewish mission work are Jews themselves who have been converted from Judaism to Christianity. Like Paul, they have a burden to see their fellow countrymen come to know Jesus. And that converted Jew, Saul of Tarsus, better known to us as the Apostle Paul, said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. He was concerned about their immortal soul. And that prayer will be answered one day, because Paul goes on to say, and also all Israel shall be saved. He's got faith in God that God's going to do it. Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament, chapter 65, verses 1 and 2, God said through the prophet, he said, I was found of them that sought me not. That's us Gentiles. They found me, they weren't even looking for me. I have made myself manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel, he said, all the day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. We're to go after that remnant. Paul tells us that he was called of God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And at the same time, he realized that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Why evangelize the Jews? For the same reason we evangelize the Gentiles. Because they're lost and they need to be saved. Because all have come sin and come short of the glory of God. An unbelieving Jew faces the same fate as an unbelieving Gentile. There's no difference. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he said that to a Jewish rabbi. It holds true to everyone. Now, we've already told you that God put Jewish evangelism first. And when those Jewish apostles went out, soul winning, evangelizing, church building, witnessing, on Saturdays, the Sabbath day, they would find a Jewish congregation at a local synagogue, and they would go in and worship with them. And when they were given the opportunity to speak to the assembly, they told them about Jesus Christ. And some of the Jews would accept their message, and many of them wouldn't. The ones that didn't believe, they would get all mad and upset and stirred up, and they would chase them out of town or put them in jail. And then after they had first witnessed to the Jews, they would go down to the marketplace and they would witness to the Gentiles. But it was to the Jew first. Of course, as they did this, they were not only being obedient to God, but they were following the example set by our Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. They did a good job of it too, because on one occasion, you read it in Acts chapter 5, the high priest brought Peter and John in, and he says to them, "You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Hallelujah. That's exactly what Jesus had told them to do. Can you imagine someone from our church being called before the Chula Vista City Council and saying, "You have filled this city with your doctrine"? I don't think they will. But wouldn't that be glorious? Have a testimony like that? I'm waiting for that day. And when that young man Saul, who was consenting to the stoning of Stephen, with the permission of the Jewish council, led a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and we're told that he made havoc of the church. He entered into every house and, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And as a result of this persecution, they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were finally doing what Jesus had told them to do. In Acts chapter 6, the Holy Spirit led the apostle Philip to preach at Samaria. Do you see it there? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. They believed Philip's preaching and were baptized, the Bible says, both men and women. And then the Holy Spirit sent Philip down into the desert where he met a man of Ethiopia, the treasurer of the country, and a Gentile. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I except some man tell me or show me?" And Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. He believed and was baptized. And history tells us that he took the gospel witness back into the country of Ethiopia, and that entire country turned to God.
Amen.
Uttermost part of the world. And again, in Acts chapter 10, Peter and six Jewish brethren were directed by the Holy Spirit to go down to the house of Cornelius, that Roman centurion in Caesarea. And Peter preached the gospel to the Gentiles. And here we see the barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles broken down as Cornelius and his household turned to the Lord. Paul declared in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, "He hath made both, Jew and Gentile, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And when Peter got back from the Caesarea to Jerusalem, they had a church meeting. And the Christian council, the Jewish Christian council in the church, brought Peter in before them. And Peter had to defend himself for having gone down to the Gentiles and sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They climbed all over him. But after they heard his defense, they came to a conclusion. And they said, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Their eyes were being opened, and they saw that the gospel is not only for the Jew, but it's also for the Greek. Never underestimate the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's through the preaching of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit touches men's hearts and turns them to righteousness, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. So don't get the idea that the gospel of salvation is a Jews only thing. The gospel breaks through racial barriers.
Amen.
It knows no man's color. It breaks through religious barriers. Whether you're Buddhist, Islam, Catholic, Protestant, it makes no difference. The gospel breaks down those religious barriers. Breaks down the gender barriers. God doesn't care if you're male or female, boy or girl, old or young. Breaks down the age barriers. Breaks down the political barriers. Doesn't make any difference if you're independent or Democrat or Republican or what you are. It breaks those barriers down. And it breaks through those social barriers. There are no social barriers in the gospel. It's for the rich. It's for the poor. And it's for the middle class. It breaks through the language barriers. It doesn't make any difference what language you speak. God can save. It breaks through the national barriers. It doesn't make any difference what your nationality is. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. And God still works through human instrumentality. He uses people. People like you and me. We're still saved by grace through faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Start next door. Remember that God has never seen a sinner that he doesn't love. And he's never seen a sinner that he cannot save. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege it is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell people that it is the power of God unto salvation. You've told us to go. Some of us have, but in our hearts we begin to realize, Lord, have I really been obedient to you? Have I really done what you wanted me to do? Am I in your will? When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what will be my answer when I'm asked that question by Jesus? What did you do for me during your lifetime on earth? Father, today we come to you as humbly as we know how, asking that you would know our hearts and place a burden upon our hearts to be obedient and submissive to your divine will. We realize that we pass down this road of life only once. We can't go back and undo the past. We can only work from this day forward. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch hearts today. And Father, if there's one here in this congregation that's unsaved, help them to realize that Jesus died for their sins. And if they will accept him as their personal Savior, that he will save them for all time and eternity. And Father, today, we ask that if there are those today in this congregation who would like to come and join themselves with us in the Bible Baptist Church and pledge their support to the cause of Christ from this place, that you would lay it upon their hearts to be obedient to the leadership of your Holy Spirit. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
540.
Number 540. Will you come today? That's all God wants. He wants to have his way in your heart, in your life. Such a wonderful song. Have thine own way. God's good. God is good. We have the Mason family coming this morning to asking to join our church. All of you that are glad that they came and willing to accept them into the membership of our church, say amen.
Amen.
Any opposed? See, they're not even their daddy. Brother Mason, would you come up here, please, sir? We appreciate your being here. And I want to ask you to dismiss our service tonight, today. And I'm going to ask this couple to come and stand here. You come by and give them the right hand of Christian fellowship, will you, before you leave? All right, come on up here.
Praise the Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to come before your presence. Lord, to worship you, to lift up your name. Lord, we know you're high and lifted up. We thank you, Lord. We don't want to take this for granted. Lord, how good you've been. How good you are, Lord, and how good you're going to be. Lord, we pray that no soul leaves out like they came in. Lord, I pray that you just bless, heal, Lord. You know everything. You know what we have need of even before we ask. Now, Lord, I pray you take us home wherever we are going, oh, Lord. Give us traveling mercies, Lord. Look over our shoulders. Oh, God, look in our front, look on our sides, and have your way, Lord. Bless this whole congregation. Bless this edifice, oh, God. Bless the pastor, bless the under-shepherd of this great edifice, and bless each and every person here. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise. We will be careful to honor you and give you the glory, which is in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving.
Amen. Amen.